All right, then we're going on. We're moving on. We're actually going to start talking about Hanukkah now. We're moving on.
Shavuos Hanukkah or Hanukkah?
Tanur Rabbanan. The next shtickle in the Sefer Nirmitzvah is a halakhic shtickle. It goes through the Gemaras and Halakhas. Tanur Rabbanan. This is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Nechanukah mitzvah nicha al Pesach Beis Mibuchutz. Where do you put the Hanukkah menorah? You put it on the entranceway of your house, on the outside. So the main purpose of the lights is not to light up the inside of the house. It's for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. Yom HaYadar Be'aliyah. What if he's living in an attic, so he doesn't have a door that leads to the outside, because if he goes to that door, he falls down really, really far. So where does he put it? Samanicha v'achalayin, he put it in the window. Asmuch l'shus harabim. B'shas sakana. There's a time when it was dangerous. The Persians had a law. Around, right around Hanukkah time, they had like a religious, a period where in new religion, one wasn't allowed to kindle fires anyway. It was like the whole Persian Empire was a fire-free zone. And the only places they're allowed to burn fires when they're churches, the base of Avodah Zarah. It was like a cover to the Avodah Zarah that no light anywhere, no light, no heat, no warmth anywhere except in the base of Avodah Zarah. It was a religious thing. So a Jew would light the Hanukkah menorah in the houses. That's not a very good idea to do that. It's dangerous. So you see from here, the Lachat Chili, you're supposed to light it for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, but yeah, but you can put it inside of your house. Amarava, you need to have another candle just to... If you're going to benefit from the light, you shouldn't benefit from the light of the Hanukkah candle, so you should have a shamash. V'ikim v'dura, light tzarek. But if you happen to have a big bonfire there, you don't need a shamash. Nowadays, when we light a shamash, it's mainly a minig. Because we don't have bonfires, but we have Thomas Edison. We have electric lights. So it's the same thing. Yadam Chashav Apka, Bika Madura, Tzarek Ne'acheres. Yadam Chashav doesn't use the light of a bonfire. It seems like a common man, someone that has no chashivas, would use the light of a bonfire. Yadam Chashav uses a lantern. So if someone's in Yadam Chashav and he has a bonfire, so then that's not a heter, because he's not going to be using the light of the bonfire anyway. He's going to use a lantern, and the lantern is the Hanukkah lantern. So if you're someone that doesn't use a bonfire for light because of your chash of a person, so then you have to have an extra candle besides the ones you're lighting. Tanur Rabbanan, mitzvahs to Hanukkah, Nerisha Besai. We have one light per house, Ramahadra Ner Lechalecha Ve'echad. Imagine people that run after mitzvahs. So every single member of the household should have one, and that's the Ramah says that Ashkenazim do it. But Ashkenazim, every member of the household lights. For Mahajan, Minna Mahajan, so Bishami, I mean, it's not just enough to light one. You don't want to light just one, you want to light more than one. Yerisha Madluk Shmaina, the first day you light eight. Mikanva Eilach Pekas V'Eilach, the second day of Hanukkah, seven. Third day, six. So the last day you light one. No, the first day light one. And then the second day light two. And the third day light three. Until you get to eight. Amu'ula pligi be'tri amarai b'maravis. The machlaikas and Eretz Yisrael, they have the same machlaikas. Rabbi Yesi bar Oven and Rabbi Yesi bar Zavida. So we don't know which one of them said what. Chad amar. Tami de b'shami k'neged yaman and nechnasim. You light eight because you have 8 days of Hanukkah that have yet to come. It's the first day of Hanukkah. So how many days of Hanukkah are you going to have? Okay, this is the first day, so I'm going to have eight. So you light eight. And the reason why you're lighting eight is connected to the days of Hanukkah that are going to come. Time of Basilah connected Yamanai Yaitzim. This is how many days of Hanukkah have begun already. Just one. And then tomorrow I'm going to have two. So you light for the days that are going out. So according to Beishama, you're lighting according to the days that are coming in. And according to Beishil, you light according to the days that are going out. But that's one shot. Okay. You don't see a reason why you should hold of one and not the other. Like, what's the difference of you? You know, what's the svara? What's the lundus? Do you light according to the days that have yet to come, or you light according to the day that you're holding on right now, the days that have passed already? What's the lundus? You should be able to, you know, there's no svara. You should be able to do what you want. Pick. The Chadam and the other man, the Amr says, either Rabbi Yisrael Bar Zavida or Rabbi Yisrael Bar Oven, time to be Shamak and Eged Pari Achag. Hanukkah is like Sukkot. On Sukkot, on the first day of Sukkot, how many cows do you bring? First day of Sukkot, how many cows do you bring?
Two.
13 cows. Second day of Sukkot, how many cows do you bring?
12.
Last day of Sukkot, how many cows do you bring?
Seven.
Now, if you add up 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7...
70.
You get 70. We've moved on. It's 70. So, yeah. And Sukkot, it's not... The mystery is solved. We understand why you liked 8 and you go down to 7 and 6, 5 and 4. Because on Sukkot, you start with 13, you go down to 12, 11, 10, 9. We understand everything now. It's very clear. Sukkot and Hanukkah is just like Sukkot. So you go, you start from the high number, you go down. Why do you do that on Sukkot? I don't know. Because on Hanukkah you do it. So we're not really closer to understanding anything. Time to be silly. Basil doesn't compare Hanukkah to Sukkot. So he said, why would you compare it to Sukkot? You can compare it to Sukkot. The Marlon Bekaidish Vemaridin. Because in matters of Kedusha, you start small and then you grow a little bit at a time. Milan Bekardish, where am I reading? That means it's a halakha concept. Milan Bekardish, am I reading it? One candle is considered a small amount of Kedusha. Two candles is more Kedusha. Why? Because you have more listening to God's commandment. You have one candle, you listen to God's commandment to light one thing. So how much Kedusha do you have? One candle's worth. The next day, you have two candles worth of Kedusha. So you have more Kedusha the second day than the first day. So it makes more sense. My little Kedusha, my Marine. You don't start out with the eight and go down. Kedusha, you always go, you start small and it grows and grows and grows. That makes sense. My little Kedusha, my Marine.
I like all eight every night.
Good question. That makes a lot of sense.
More Kedusha.
The answer to your question is that we're not ready for all eight right away.
You have to start slow.
My only Bekaidish is very bright. We're not ready for it. I mean, the Kedusha Hanukkah is powerful.
So the first day is the last,
one.
The last day?
Correct. It grows.
You can't light one candle 8 days before Hanukkah? And then light all eight the first day of Hanukkah and keep eight.
No, it doesn't work that way. Because it's not Hanukkah. Lighting a candle before Hanukkah doesn't count. I mean, it's not like, when you're looking at it, it's like deep sea divers. Before they go down, they go into a chamber and they, you know, increase the pressure to get used to the pressure so they don't get the bends. Yeah. We want to get used to the light. It has to be in Hanukkah. Amar Rabba Babachana Rabbi Yechanan. The Shnei Zakenim Hayibit Sidon. There were two elderly people in the city called Sidon. Echad Asab Kibbeh Shammai V'echad Asab Kibbeh Rabbeh Salom. Zeh Nash and Tam Dvar Kineged Pari Achad. So these two elderly men in Sidon, they had the same opinions. That you start with 8 and you go down because of the Pari Achag, the cows that are brought on Sukkot. It was a nice time to dvarv. The Mayim B'Kayish Reim are reading. Right, so we have two opinions, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We have two pshatim, what the two opinions are. And the sages of Hanukkah have to be included in these opinions. We've got four opinions. Do you start with one and you go to eight because of Ma'am Bekesh Meriden? Or you start with one and you go to eight because you go according to the days that passed already? It's on the first day. The first day's here already. You light one. You don't light two. The second day didn't pass already. Then you have Beis Shammai. You go down from eight to one because of Parah Chags. Has something to do with Sukkos and cows. Or the other opinion of Beis Shammai, that you go down from eight to one because you go according to the days that have yet to come. You're lighting a candle. You're lighting a light based on how many days didn't happen yet. Which the Chayyah needs a very big beer. You're learning eight on the first day because there's 8 days of Hanukkah which have yet to come. And you're lighting, so you're lighting eight lights for something that didn't happen yet. And that needs a touch. Okay, so he's going to talk about Amit Hashem. But there's one paragraph here which I'm sure we'll all appreciate. He says, Rim Timer. There was enough oil for the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash to last for one day. They found a small jug of shemen with the chesem of the Kohen Gadol. The miracle was only 7 days because the first day that it burned, it wasn't miraculous. There was oil for one day. Sound familiar? Main limer, and don't try and answer. So how you mechalkim shemen apak l'ches yamim, that they had oil for one day, and they knew that if they light it all on the first day, they're not going to have anything for the next 7 days. It takes 8 days to make new oil. So if they light it all on the first day, it'll be 7 days without oil. So they didn't want to do that. So they divided it into eight parts. And on the first day, they didn't put the whole cup of oil. They didn't fill it up. They filled it with 1/8 of a cup of oil. And they lit it, and it lasted the whole day. And they said, wow. And the next day, they lit another one. So that way, you have 8 days of miracles, because even the first day was a miracle. He said, don't say that. Why? You can't say that. Well, this is one of the Beis Yeshiv's terutzim. The Beis Yeshiv gives a number of terutzim. This is one of the terutzim of the Beis Yeshiv. So the Maral quotes it, and he says that you can't say it. You're to fill up the cup. But orach means to set up with an ayin. Yeah, orach I say. Yeah, orach is that it should be set up. I say it, Aaron to Aaron. Me'ervad boker from night to morning. How could Aaron set it up from night to morning? What does that mean to set it up from night to morning? He lit it at night and went away. You know, what does it mean he sets it up from night to morning? So you learn off from there that if you fill up the entire cup, you're setting it up from night to morning because you fill up the whole cup. They have enough oil for one day. Do the mitzvah for one day. What's going to be with the other 7 days? You worry about it when it comes. Or you do it for one day. If they divide into eight, they're not yet to the mitzvah on any of the days. Because you only yet to the mitzvah if it's a complete cup. Avolei Kasha. He has his own teretz. And this is also one of the Beshaishas to return. They filled up on the first day. And they lit it, knowing it's going to disappear by the end of the first day. It's going to be empty, it's going to be 7 days, it's not going to have anything. But they were surprised when they woke up in the morning, the entire cup didn't burn down. Only 1/8 of the oil burnt down. And then the next day another 1/8 of the oil burnt down. The next day another 1/8 of the oil burnt down.
So it wasn't full the other days.
That is a good kasha. So Shalus in the how the Yetzim is like kasha midi. So that's the difference between the Beis Yeshiv's teretz and the Maral's teretz. is the Mishyashas Teretz, they filled the cup up, all eight cups, all seven cups the first night, and they lit it, and in the morning they saw the cups were full. They lit it again, and the second morning they saw the cups were full. So according to the Mishyashas, every day when they lit it, the cups were full. But according to Maral, they lit it on the first day, and it just kept going. They didn't light it eight times. So it's a Machlokes. So kind of the Torah, you know, I would have to say that according to Maral and Yochanami, you're not yet. They weren't. The purpose of the nace lasting for 8 days was not that they should do the mitzvah all 8 days. They didn't do the mitzvah all 8 days. Well, the Torah says that when Aaron fills up the cups, he's got to fill it up all the way. He did that. Whoever the kohen at the time was, they had one jug of oil, enough for one day. There were seven cups in the menorah, one jug of oil. They filled up each cup to the top. They lit it, and that's it. In the morning, when it came in the morning, it wasn't extinguished. And then they only had 7/8 of a cup. If it would have been extinguished, and they only had 7/8 of a cup, they wouldn't be able to light it again, because it's not the mitzvah. It's not the way it worked. That the first day, 1/8 burnt, and it went out. Then they lit it again, and another 1/8 went out. Lit it again, that's not the way it went. If that it would have gone that way, then you wouldn't have been able to light it the second day, because there's 1/8 missing. They lit it one time, and instead of burning out in one day, it burnt out. It took 8 days for it to burn out. So how many mitzvahs did they get? One mitzvah. What did the kohen do? He filled up totally and completely. So they did the mitzvah kitikuna. They did exactly what they're supposed to. What are you supposed to do when you have to light the menorah 8 days? You only have 1 day of oil. You light it for 1 day, and then the other days there's nothing you can do. Whatever happens, happens.
And if you have half a cup,
what?
If you have half a cup, what do you do?
You don't light it at all. You pot it.
Just do anything.
Huh? Pot it. Mamish pot it. Mamish pot it. So according to the Rashi Yosef, it could be that they lit it every single day. And they were Mekayim the mitzvah all 8 days of Hanukkah. And according to Maral, they were Mekayim it the first day. And the other days they're Potter. There's all kinds of shadows with the Rashi Yosef Torah. I mean, if you're into the Hanukkah Torah, Mitzvah Shem, when you get to Hanukkah, the whole shadow, you have to be Yetzu with Shem and Zayis. If they put in enough oil for one day and it burnt down, so where did the new oil, when it came in the morning and the cup was full, where did the oil come from? What are you going to tell me? It was a miracle. So it didn't come from an olive. So it's not Shem and Zayis. It didn't come from an olive. So according to Beis Yosef, it's a Hadikah B'yetzer Ritzah anyway. According to the Maral, it came from, the nace wasn't that there was new oil that was brought from somewhere else. The nace is that the oil which came from an owl just burned slower. So according to Maral, at least the mitzvah the first day, it burned for 8 days. But according to Reish Yosef, the second day of the eighth, you're not going to be yetzer mitzvah anyway because it's not olive oil. Like you could answer the Reish Yosef, the Maral came from Gan Eden and brought oil from Gan Eden and put it into Menorah. This is the time of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu brought his father two goats, two sheep. They tasted like deer. He made them with a deer recipe. They tasted like deer. And he brought them wine. So the Targum is Akasha. The goats he got from his mother Rivka. Because Rivka was allowed to have two sheep or two goats every day from Ksuba. It was a Tanai Ksuba. So she was entitled to have two sheep every single day. So it wasn't Gzela because she was entitled to have it. Instead of keeping it for herself, she gave it to Yaakov to make of a Yitzchak. And you prepared it. Where do you get the wine from? So the Metagra says a Malach brought it from Gan Eden. So it wasn't miracle wine. It was wine, you know.
You didn't have like an allowance.
Two cup of wine a week.
That's the sugya. Can I get you on my neknasim? The Shami says you go connect a young man at Nasim. On the first day, you ask the guy, how many days are left to Hanukkah? And he says, Yayim, Rishon Hanukkah. So since the first day, there's 8 days coming. Because today counts as one, then there's another seven. There's 8 days of Hanukkah. Okay, light 8 candles. Why? We all talked about a Yusayid here. It talks about the number one. So the number one, the first is not the same as the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. Starting from the number two and on, all numbers are the same. Just you have more of them. You have two sheep, you have three sheep, you have four sheep, you got more sheep. But the first is on a totally different level. The world was created in 7 days. So the second day, Hashem made the Rekia. The third day was Yabasha. Every single day there was another creation. Shalom Aleichem. Every single day was another Bria. What was created on the first day? Like Rashi says, Bereishis Bara Elokim as Hashemayim v'Zaharetz. It doesn't mean that Hashem created the Shemayim v'Aretz on the first day. They weren't created on the first day. The Shemayim v'Aretz was on the second day. There was no Aretz on the second day. It was the third day. Until you had a proper Shemayim v'Aretz, it was the third day of creation. Bereishis Bara Elokim as Shemayim v'Aretz. Hashem didn't create the Shemayim v'Aretz on the first day. So Rashi brings down many pshatim what that pasuk means. But the Maral says, on the first day of creation, everything was created. Everything. Everything in Shemayim V'Aretz was created on the first day of creation. It just was in a place that we couldn't see it. Hashem made it, but he couldn't see it. The sun and the moon and the stars, you know where they were? Hashem made them on the first day. But you know what? They were hiding. You know where they were hiding? Does anybody know where the sun was hiding on the first day of creation? For 4 days, they played hide-and-seek. Nobody could find the sun. Nobody knew where it was. No sun, no moon, no stars. There was light, but there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no stars. Where was the sun? The sun was underground. And the stars, and it was all underground. And on the fourth day of creation,
it was the ground when there was only light and day.
The sun was hiding somewhere. And it came out from under the ground. And the fourth day of creation came out from under the ground. It emerged from the ground.
How do you fit a sun on the ground?
Okay.
That's an early.
How many elephants could you put in a Volkswagen?
None. How do you tell if there's an elephant hiding in the fridge?
Touché.
How do you tell if there's two elephants hiding in the
fridge? A talking muffin. How do you... Where'd all the water go? The water was covered with water, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'seira, yabasha. Let the dry land emerge. Where'd the water go? So the Medrash says that Hashem killed the Tsar of the Yam, and then the water went and condensed itself somewhere and just shriveled up, you know, went somewhere. We don't know anything about these things. What do you want from me? The sun was there. The point, you know, that's not the point. I don't know. The point is that the sun was created on the first day of creation, and so were the moon, and so were the stars. It came out on the fourth day, and the fish came out on the fifth day, the animals came out on the sixth day, people came out. It came out. It's mamish, you know. So why is that? Because that's the Yisrael first. The Yisrael first is the first is not the same as second or third or fourth or fifth. First is everything that comes afterwards was there potentially in the first. And then it all kind of came out. I'll give you an example. I mean, you can give multiple examples. I'll give you an example. When Leolena, a parent passes away, there's Yerusha. So Bechar gets Pishnayim, and Bechar gets a double portion. And the other children get a single portion. So if you have two kids, so you divide all the Yerusha into three portions, and the Bechar gets two, and the other brother gets one. So the Bechar gets two-thirds of the Yerusha, and the other brother gets one-third of the Yerusha. If you have 10 boys, nice family, so you divide it into 11 parts, and the Bechar gets two, and then the other nine get the other nine parts. Bechar gets a double portion. What's the reason why Bechar gets a double portion? The Bechar gets a double portion because the other children did not do what the Bechar did. The other children were born to parents. Child number two, when he was born to parents. Child number one was not born to parents because they weren't parents. So that means that they became parents with his birth. So he's the source of them being parents. Child number two is not a source. You have a parent, so parents have children. There's no kiddush in that. But child number one created parenthood. Yes, I said that. Parenthood. Ice-ca-parented. Yeah, that's what you said? So he's the sheresh for all the other kids. If he's the sheresh for all the other kids, because he came first, so he gets another chaluk. He gets one chaluk because he's a child, and he gets another chaluk because he's a partner with the parents to make them into parents. He's a shuttah with the parents. The other children are not partners with the parents. They're total children. He's a shuttah with the parents. And that's the Yisrael of a Bechar.
Why wouldn't that apply if a female
was a Bechar? Well, it would if she got a Yerusha. She doesn't get it.
In that case, why wouldn't she get a Yerusha? At least
I mean, are there brothers or there's only girls in the family?
There's brothers.
They don't get Yerusha. There's no Yerusha.
The logic that she's part of what made them parents.
Yeah, no, but to tell someone that gets a Yerusha, so then they get a double portion. If you get zero, double zero, zero. She gets a double portion. No, she gets she does get a double portion. She gets two times zero. And she could take that in a Ravkov and go on the bus. So you see the aside that the number one, the first thing is not a number like all of the numbers. Klai Yisrael is called Reishis Tvuasai. Shavuos. We're not upkepatted from Shavuos. Shavuos is Chag HaBikurim. Upkepatted. Well, I started the shiur saying we're moving on from Shavuos and we're going to start learning Hanukkah, but we're still going to learn.
Upkepatted.
Upkepatted.
Upkepatted
means finished. We're not finished with Shavuos. We're still not patter from Shavuos. Shavuos is Chag HaBikurim. Bikurim is a big mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. Bikurim shows Hashem's adness in the world. We take the first of the Shivas Aminim, and we bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. We put it in a basket and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we do that? Because by taking the first of the Peiros, by taking the first, which is a very small amount, you take the first, you take one pomegranate, one date, one... It's a very small amount. So by doing that, you're acknowledging that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you take the first of, Bikurim, you take the first of your fruits. So then, and you give it to God's representatives, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you give it to God's representatives, you are acknowledging that everything comes from God. Omer is the same thing. Omer is the same thing by grain. And Bikurim is by Bikurim is by fruits. You have fruits and you have grain. It's Echanami. Echanami, but you're they're both rachises, and you have Nisan. Nisan's a rachis. It's a chedesh zelachem reish chadashim. That means that anything that unfolds during the year has its shevish in Nisan. Nisan Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah. Anything that comes in the year has its shevish in Tishrei. And that's something which we identify with. We understand what a Yom Adin is. We get judged on Tishrei, and it's the first month, and it's Kavu on Tishrei. What's going to be the rest of the year? Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh is the head. The head comes first. Rosh is Rosh. And Shavuos is a Rosh Hashanah, the Peiros Eilun. Which is, Tishrei is called by Eilun Bayim Lefanav. Shavuos is also a Rosh Hashanah. Abba Rosh Hashanah here, the Mishnah says. It's Rosh Hashanah Peiros Eilun. And the Kadmonim say Peiros Eilun is Taira, because it's Chaim Hilam Achzikim Ba. So it's a Yom Adin on Taira. Yes. It's scary. We just got judged on Shavuos for all the Bittul Taira that we did last year. It's a Yom Adin on Bittul Taira. It's a race, but everything comes from Shavuos.
What do you mean a special din? Like, what's the practical application? What gets done after this as opposed to, you know, say, the Rosh Hashanah judgment?
That's, you know, the avoidance of Shavuos determines on what Achilu Kintara is going to be for the upcoming year. Oh. You do tshuva on any shortcomings for the previous year. And then we're Mekabel Torah again, Fundas Nai, from fresh. Fundas Nai. Yeah. And then that's Lacha of Torah for the upcoming year. You know, someone that spent the entire Shavuos being Mekabel Torah, so he's a Mekabel Torah. And if you're Mekabel Torah, so you're a Kaili for Torah. And then the whole upcoming year, Hashem fills it with Torah. And there's nobody at this table that didn't do that. So we all did this. And the only mitzvah that we're given to do on Shavuos is to eat. There's no mitzvah to learn on Shavuos more than any other day of the year. The mitzvah is to eat. You're not allowed to fast on Shavuos. It's a mitzvah to eat. It's the only mitzvah you have on Shavuos. the side of Kabbal Satira and being Makabal Satira, that's Minhagim, which are revealed to us through people, through our Gedalim that reveal these type of things to us. Our avoid on Shavuos is mainly from Nister, from Sisrei Torah. But there was a Gili in Shemayim that decided them they better show us a little bit the specialness of the day. Kiyadua. Okay, so that's the side of the number one. Number one is first. Haskala Akol, Lakaki Yesub Ramal. Number one is more chashuv than any other day. Ukila B'kaicha Shayyam Hashem Achav. Zvika yesh la adlik shmoyna. Keneged yamim hanikmasim. It makes sense to light 8 days on the first day. Because, granted, on the first day the menorah didn't last for 8 days yet. It hadn't happened yet. But the potential, the power for the menorah lasting 8 days was already there on the first day. You can clear Akira, eh? How did it happen? The pshat is that every day Hashem was mechadish a miracle. The first day Hashem was mechadish that should burn for 1 day. And the second day Hashem made a new miracle that should burn for a second day. And the third day Hashem was mechadish a miracle that should burn for the third day. So the Maral saying, based on the Gemara, that it's nishtazah. On the first day, Kadosh Baruch Hu invested the oil with the power to burn for 8 days. When you talk it, it goes along with the Maral's teretz on the Bishesh Kasha. That they expected it to last for a day and go out, and it kept going for 8 days. Because they had the kayak on the first day. So when you're lighting the menorah on the first day of Hanukkah, you lighted candles because you're trying to show that on the first day of Hanukkah there's a potential to last for 8 days.
Well,
on the second day of Hanukkah, how much potential is left in the oil?
Eight.
On the second day of Hanukkah, how much potential is left in the oil? You used one up already.
Seven.
Like, we're not accustomed to thinking that miracles work that way. We think miracles work that God says, and it is, you know? What do you mean how many potential days are left in the thing? Whatever God wants.
Bigger miracle only for us.
Yeah. It was there for the first day. Everything that God does, Hashem creates a sherish, and then the sherish is hidden, and then it's megal itself.
Is it a shame that it didn't last 8 days?
It's
sort of like a little bit of like, you light them all, and then they just like, you kind of like expect that they should burn for 8 days?
They didn't expect it. I mean, we have no right that they expected it.
You know, for us now.
What?
When we light eight, we should think like, oh.
We don't light eight on the first day.
If we would.
Okay, if we would light on the eighth day, what color would it be? Yeah. So according to Beis Shammai,
why do we should only keep 1 day of Hanukkah?
Just do the first day. We're gonna get to that, but just do the first day, light 8, and then that's it. If it lasts for 8 days, great.
Yeah, but there's only 1 day then. The original question was, there's only 7.
Right. So obviously, what we're doing now is that we're not zayka to the nays. So what we're trying to do is, we're trying to do ourselves what happened at the time of the Nei. So we light 8 the first day. And then 7, so when we light 8 the first day, what we're lighting has the kayach of 8. You know, if you light 8 candles, let's use the candles, the first day, so what you're lighting has the ability to light for 8 days. If you would use the candles, one after, if you have 8 candles and you use them one day, another day, you're going to have light for 8 days. So we light 8 candles on the first day, we're lighting the power of burning for 8 days.
So we're not lighting...
The second day we light 7, so we're lighting the power of burning for second day. So what we're doing is we're duplicating the potential in the oil then with candles.
So the way the Lisa asked this question, it seems that we're lighting every day for the nace that happened on that day. I was not saying that. We're not lighting per the amount of nace. Is this a represent what happened?
Well, we don't have a nace. But I say, but the Svar Makdashim, the Svar Makdashim talk about Eli L'Raisim B'Vad. Why are you lighting it? Can you light the enough for a minute? No, you can't have any enough. Can't use it, can't have enough. When you light Shabbos candles, you could have enough from the Shabbos candles. You're supposed to have enough from the Shabbos candles. El Reis and Bavad, you're only supposed to look at it. What's that? Since when do you have a mitzvah that the whole mitzvah is to not benefit from it in the least and just to look at it? You're not looking at it in order to help you see. There's a Ramban in Parsha Balaiska. The Ramban says, Neiris Heim L'Olam. Neiris are forever. The Mitzvah will go into the Ramban more by Rikas, but the Ramban says that Aaron had Chalish Sadas because it's my mission to have to get Parshias. It's about Parshas Nasi. And the Parshas Nasi, Yad and Nasi, every single Nasi brings an offering for the Mishkan. And the only Shevet that was left out was Shevet Levi. They brought absolutely nothing. There was nothing left for them to bring. And Aaron had Chalish Sadas. Because Yad and Klai Shad had a Shtatvas through the Nisim and the Binyan of Mishkan. Except for his Shevet. Because Baruch taught Aaron, don't worry. He said, what they're bringing, it's not for all eternity. It's a kabanas. They bring animals for the kabanas and materials for the kabanas. There's a time when there's not going to be any kabanas. The Mishkan was destroyed. The first base of Mikdash was destroyed. The second base of Mikdash was destroyed. It's a period when they brought kabanas and they stopped. They brought and they stopped. But Atta Madlik is a Neiris. You Baloiska is a Neiris. You like the Neiris. The Neiris hand the island. And the Neiris are forever. So Ramban talks about it. What does it mean the Neiris are forever? The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They didn't like the Menorah either. What is Hashem telling Aaron? That the Neiris are forever. The same way the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And they're not bringing Kabbalists. They're not lighting the Menorah either. So Ramban says, we're talking about the Chanukah Samishkan, the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, through Aaron's Enklach, the Chashmonaim, Yehuda Maccabee, Shimon, Yechanan Kain Gadol, they were all Enklach of Aaron HaKain. And he says, Hashem is telling Aaron, you are going to light the menorah, and you're going to light the menorah in the time of Chanukah. It's gonna be forever. So the kasha is still there. The kasha of lives. The Beis HaMikdash also was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash of the Chashmonaim was also destroyed. It's not forever. That is, the way we light the menorah in our houses. We light the menorah in our houses. So we're lighting a physical candle with a physical wick, with a physical fire. But is it magnificent? It's something we all have to know. That when an ordinary person lights an ordinary fire, then all he's going to get is an ordinary fire. When a yid, who's neshama, is a neshama of a yid, and the Shem of Yid is connected, is a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is way beyond this world. And the Yid has a chelik, which is a goof, and the Yid has a chelik on the Shem. And the Shem is mekusher to a world which is beyond the physical world. And the Shem is mekusher and could attain madrigas that are beyond the madrigas that a malach could attain. A nishmas ben Yisrael is higher than a malach. The guf of a ben Yisrael could be really low. It could be. But the nishmas ben Yisrael is higher. And when they do a maisa mitzvah, when they light a candle on Hanukkah, they're lighting it not because they want to do a physical action. They're trying to make an impact in the world should be filled with God's command. Now, how do you fill the world with God's command? God commands, and you do it. And when God commands, he's commanding wherever God is. I mean, he's not in a physical place. And when we do it, we're doing it in a physical place. So we're taking God's command, which is total ruchni, and we are bringing it into a physical place. And by doing that, we change the physical place. That fire is going to be a different fire, Rabbi Sa. It's going to, you know, we talked about the Mikdash itself being a physical Mikdash with spiritual qualities. We were talking about the Shivrei Luchos and the Aron. The Shivrei Luchos is the closest thing in this world to spirituality, because they were fashioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. The Shivrei Luchos, from the first Luchos. So those, you know, those are mamish. In this world, it's like the closest you can get to Shemayim is the Shivrei Luchos. The Shivrei Luchos was like, they shouldn't have been here. They didn't belong here. The actual stone didn't belong here. It's not from Sheshim Ebrashis. So if you're looking for things in this world that don't really belong, the fire is one of them. Fire is something in this world where it's a physical thing. It can be put under a microscope. It can be explained. But Lamaisa, it's very unlike anything else in the physical world. The properties of fire, everything in the physical world goes down. Fire goes up. So the properties of fire, and when we light a fire, and we light it with Asher Kedushano B'mitzvasa V'tzivano, so then that fire is not the same fire as a regular fire. Another reason Bovad is that in that fire, did you ever have to, you know, have to take some evil tasting medicine that you never ever touch if your life depended on it? Or you're a little kid and your mother made you take the medicine? You ever had that? Mm-hmm. Well, my mother used to put it into my chocolate milk.
It's bad chocolate
milk. She figured it's sweet, it's chocolatey. She put she'd have the antibiotics in liquid form. I had to take it, I wouldn't take it. She'd put it in my chocolate milk. If you drink the chocolate milk, and you think you're drinking regular chocolate milk, and you don't even realize that the healing antibiotic is laced into the chocolate milk, and it's there without even realizing, and you're drinking the life-giving properties of the antibiotic. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu does on Hanukkah. To the extent we have to do, you know, we have to do what we got to do also. To the extent that we put ourselves, we unshackle ourselves from our limitations, and we get to know the real us. That the real us is capable of being greater than Amalek. Capable of being greater than Amalek. I mean, not everyone is greater than Amalek, but we have the capability of being greater than Amalek. So when you light the Neiris, there is regular physical fire there. But hidden in the physical fire is a light. And it's a light which is not from this world. And it's hidden there. When you look into the El Reisim Avad, the mitzvah is to light it and to look at it. Don't use it. Don't touch it. When you look into that light, so then there's a non-physical fire that lights us up. And it changes us. And when you light the Chanukah menorah, you look at the Neiris, the more you look at them, the more pure it purifies. It's like a filter. And it purifies and it sends its healing rays inside of the person. And it removes all the schmutz and the garbage, and we're providing that's what you have there. I mean, not everyone has schmutz and garbage, but if there is some schmutz and garbage there, by any chance, so then it doesn't. And this, where does this light come from? This came from the light that Aaron HaKohen lit in the Mishkan in Parshat Vayishlach. That's like the Ramban says, Neiris Heim La'olam. The Neiris of Aaron lighting in the Mishkan are forever, because, you know, once you light something in the Mishkan, you fill the world with this holy, unworldly or otherworldly fire, it doesn't stop. And it's in the world, and we don't even know it's there, but it channels itself, it channels it into us in Hanukkah when that light goes into our menorah. Because when we light the menorah, we're connecting to that. Until we see it. And that's what he's saying. The first day of Hanukkah, in the times of the Chashmonaim, the oil was not ordinary oil because it had in it the light that Aaron HaKohen brought to this world in the time of the Mishkan. And it's not a natural light. Since it's a natural light, it burns for 8 days because 8 is the number of the Maladech HaTeva. And the Chiddush is that on Hanukkah, when we, you know, according to Beis Shammai, when we light 8 lights on the first night, that's granted. If you light 8 lights and 8 light burns, that's the. You want to see a miracle? I'll make 8 lights burn. Just like in the time of the Chashmonaim. You take out 8 candles and you light them. It's not a miracle, that's 8 candles. We don't have open miracles. We light 8 lights and they're natural lights, and the fact that all of them burn for whatever time they burn, you have 8 lights going, that's a natural phenomenon, it's not a miracle. But it's not true. It is a miracle. It's the same miracle in the time of Hanukkah. It's disguised. That the light that's going through, you have 8 of those candles, and each one of the candles is a miraculous light. You have a potential of burning for 8 days. Is a miraculous light, each one of them. It just looks to us as if it's a physical light. You can't tell. You can't tell. And you're lighting 8 of them. You have the miraculous Kayach of 8. You have the Kayach to defy nature. And on the second day of Hanukkah, you no longer have that. So we don't light 8. It doesn't make sense to light 8, because you light 8. Only 7 of them are going to be Hanukkah candles. One is not going to be a Hanukkah. You light 8 on the second day, so then 7 of them have the miracle, and one of them doesn't. One of them is a faker. You don't even know which one. You can't pick out which one it is. You know, there's no way of detecting which one is, you know, giving off the miracle rays. You know, the miracle gamma rays, what do you call it? If you light 8 on the third day, so then you have two of them that are not Hanukkah candles. And so that's the Amkus. That's the Shitas Beis Shammai. That on the first day you light connected the Sheirish of the miracle that was coming. It was there. There was an 8-day miracle on the first day. Okay, I feel like Hanukkah.